Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Thank you so much. You are correct. It is, once again, your weekly dose of conservative Wiccanness. I know, it's odd. It's an enigma, but that's the beauty of it. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, one and all, for hanging out with me today, TGI Friday. The weekend is finally upon us. Hope wherever you are that you have some fabulous weekend plans going on. As usual, we are loaded for bear today. There is never a shortage, blah, 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 easy for me to say, during a presidential election year of stuff going on, and not just presidential stuff, but, other stuff too. And, of course, as always, you can call in here. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And, as always, of course, the chat room is open. If you want to go that route, you can check in there. And, of course, I want to give a big shout-out to everyone listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. I know I speak on behalf of all of my Red Nation Rising colleagues when I say thank you all so much for making us the huge success that we have started out, that we've become. It's growing all the time, and we couldn't be more excited. So, like I said, I know I speak on behalf of all of my other talk show host colleagues at Red Nation Rising when I say thank you. Thank you very much for listening. But like I said, of course, we are loaded up today and ready to go. I've got poll numbers, of course. We've got Hillary. We've got Trump. We've got, oh, my God. Sometimes it's hard to even know where to begin. But I think, first of all, I guess maybe one of the biggest things that has gone on this week was actually yesterday. And yesterday was kind of a war of words, and you know, we're in a presidential election. That's going to happen. You know, it's the silly season, and but it was a war of words about who's the bigger racist, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And in a speech, maybe Wednesday night in it escapes me. I don't remember where Donald Trump was speaking, but he came out and called Hillary Clinton a bigot. Well, Hillary Clinton came back yesterday, and she kind of pushed right back, but you know, here's the thing. Even though when one candidate is attacked by another, the whole race card thing, the whole playing the race card issue, we know you can set your watch by it. It's the most predictable thing on the planet. We know that at some point between now, whenever now happens to be, an election day, you know that the Democrats are going to trot out the race card, because that's what we have actually, quite frankly, that's what we have allowed them to do over the last 50 years, is rewrite history and twist it and turn it around. And so that the narrative now is that Republicans and conservatives are the racist, sexist, bigoted homophobes. And for anyone, I'll give a shameless plug here for Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, Hillary's America. It's not just about Hillary Clinton, but it also gives a very in-depth history of the Democrat Party, their track record, in regards to race relations, and it's not a pretty one. And it's something that they don't want to talk about. It's something that they want to push under the rug. But regardless of poll numbers, and we're seeing poll numbers every 5 minutes. And you know, you can take the poll numbers for what they are. It's still fairly early. And those poll numbers are going to be like a big giant roller coaster. They're going to bounce around all over the place between now and election day. Again, we know, because you can set your watch by it, we know that the Democrats at some point, like I said, between now, whatever now, whenever now happens to be an election day, we know that they're going to trot out the race card and somebody's going to get called a racist. Well, in response to Donald Trump calling her a bigot, Hillary Clinton and her campaign put out a new ad yesterday, and it's, you know, I'll say it's pretty hard hitting, and but it's a little hypocritical, and I'll get into that in a minute. I've got the audio portion of it. For anybody who wants to see the whole thing, you can go on YouTube and find it. You can find the whole, you know, visual extravaganza there on YouTube. But this is just a little portion of the audio. Well, it is the audio portion of the ad. And, you know, you have, as you're hearing this, you have to picture in your mind, you know, images of, you know, guys parading around in robes and cross burnings and, you know, the requisite Democrat, Republicans are racist, you know, those things that have to be in those kind of political ads. So here is the audio portion of Hillary Clinton's new campaign ad, in effect attempting to tie Donald Trump to the Ku Klux Klan and to make you believe that the Klan has thrown their support behind Donald Trump. Here it is.
The reason a lot of Klan members like Donald Trump is because a lot of what he believes, we believe in. Donald Trump would be best for the job.
For president.
Yeah.
I am a farmer and white nationalist. Support Donald Trump.
Sending out all the illegals, building a wall, and a moratorium on Islamic immigration. That's very appealing to a lot of ordinary white people.
Running against Donald Trump at this point is really treason to your heritage.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists?
I don't know anything about white supremacists, so I don't know.
Trump named Steve Bannon as his new campaign CEO. Mr. Bannon is best known for his controversial Breitbart News, a campaign chair that ran a website that has become a field day for the alt-right, which is racist, and all sorts of other ists.
The alt-right, which is a sort of dressed-up-in-suits version of the neo-Nazi and white supremacist movement.
A lot of what he believes, we believe in.
So that is the audio portion of the new Hillary Clinton campaign ad, in effect linking Donald Trump to the Klan and trying to convince voters that the Klan has thrown their support behind Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump did denounce David Duke and his support. He has come out and said that he wants nothing to do with these kind of people. And the problem is with any campaign ad is that you're going to have a group of voters who are going to look at that and they're going to believe it. But again, it's something that the Democrats do every election cycle. And I think in this case too, because I think regardless of what the polls are saying, I think that you are, especially this past week, Donald Trump has really done a lot of reaching out to African Americans and really has in fact come out and said, what has the Democrat Party done for you in the last 50 years? They keep promising you things. They keep telling you that things are going to get better. They keep telling you that they're going to help you. But what have they done? In the past 50 years, what have they done? You can look at places like Detroit and Baltimore and even St. Louis. Here in St. Louis, we've not had a Republican mayor since 1949, and you can see the gradual the effects of years and years and years of liberal policies on a whole bunch of American cities. And so he has done a lot of outreach this week to the African American community. And the one thing that I would have a problem with about it, and I think probably a lot of black voters would as well, is that he is And I'm not saying there's not any black people in his audiences. There are. We've seen them. But, and blacks, Hispanics, there are minorities in Donald Trump's audiences. But I think maybe what he needs to do, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if he, if it would be absolutely, you know, that the kind of, and what I'm thinking of is kind of the things that Rand Paul was doing while he was running for president. He was going to historically black colleges. He was going and seeking out African-American audiences and delivering that message. And I don't know if someone who is as divisive a figure as Donald Trump remains, I don't know that would work for him. But I do think that the Trump campaign needs to find a way to deliver this message, because it's a good message. It's a very practical message. I think that they need to figure out how to deliver it to a wider black audience. I think it would do him – I think it would help him. I think it would help him immensely. Not just black audiences. Take that same message and tailor it to the Latino community. Tailor it to Hispanics, because it's basically the same thing. And especially when you're talking about the fact that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats keep wanting to bring more and more Syrian refugees into the country. They all but want open borders to let people from Mexico and South America just flood into the country. And the truth of that is that when those people come in, people in the African American community, people in the Hispanic community, white people, those people who are coming into this country illegally are making it so that Americans, natural born Americans, regardless of who you are, have to compete for those jobs. And so I think it would do him a world of good if they could find a way to deliver this message, because it's a good one, to more black audiences, more Hispanic audiences. But getting back to Hillary Clinton's ad, you know, I'll admit it's a hard hitting ad, and it does what they intended it to do. But Hillary is counting on the fact, and Democrats, they are counting on the fact that people don't remember things like Hillary Clinton praising former West Virginia senator and former grand poobah cyclops, whatever they call themselves, of the Ku Klux Klan in West Virginia, Robert Byrd. Robert Byrd, when he was 30 years old, made a statement, and I don't have it here in front of me word for word, but a statement, something to the effect that he would never serve in the military alongside a black man. He was a segregationist up until the time he was 50 years old. These are facts. They're known facts about Robert Byrd. But you can say that when someone passes away, even if it's somebody who is, you know, nobody liked him, he was a complete a-hole and just a pretty rotten individual all around, that people are going to come out and say nice things about him. I have a clip here of Hillary Clinton upon the passing of Robert Byrd, I believe it was in 2010, that, well, she calls him a friend and a mentor. Now, you can have somebody who you know that passes away that you don't particularly care for, that you thought was pretty much a all-around rotten individual. And you can manage to come up with a couple of nice things to say about that person on their passing, but I don't think it's a requirement that you call them a friend and a mentor. So while Hillary is trying to imply that Donald Trump has sheets hanging in the back of his closet and that all of the support of the Ku Klux Klan is behind Donald Trump, let's listen to a little bit of what Hillary Clinton had to say upon the passing of Senator Robert Byrd, what she had to say about her friend and mentor, the senator.
Today, our country has lost a true American original, my friend and mentor, Robert C. Byrd. Senator Byrd was a man of surpassing eloquence and nobility, and I will remember him for many things. It is almost impossible to imagine the United States Senate without Robert Byrd. He was not just its longest-serving member, he was its heart, its soul, and its historian. From my first day in the Senate, I sought out his guidance, and he was always generous with his time and his wisdom. I admired his tireless advocacy for his West Virginia constituents, his fierce defense of the Constitution and the traditions of the Senate, and his passion for a government that improves the lives of the people it serves. As Secretary of State, I continued to rely on his advice and counsel. Robert C. Byrd led by the power of his example, and he made all of us who had the honor of serving as his colleagues better public servants and better citizens. Robert C. Byrd left such a legacy.
Little parody there, a little "The More You Know" music. I thought that was kind of funny, kind of amusing. But before I go to a break here, here's a few other little tidbits, maybe little known tidbits about former West Virginia Senator and former Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan, Robert C. Byrd. That during his Klan career, he recruited over 150 people to join the Klan. And he still, I believe to this day, holds the record for the longest filibuster in the United States Senate. I don't even remember how many hours. It was probably a day, maybe a couple of days, but just an outrageous amount of time that Robert Byrd spent on the floor of the United States Senate filibustering. Do you know what he was filibustering? Civil rights legislation. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron, Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. Thank you all for hanging out. I'm just scratching the surface. I've got so much more to get to. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons.
find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is death beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We're back. We've got a ton of stuff to talk about. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me on this fabulous Friday. TGIF, the weekend is upon us, people. I know, man, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's ever going to come, but here we are. And, of course, we've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Like I said, we were talking about Hillary Clinton's new – just heard the audio portion of Hillary Clinton's new ad trying to tie Donald Trump to – the Ku Klux Klan, because we know when Democrats trot out the race card, we know that there is some amount of desperation going on there. And I think that despite what you're seeing in the polls, I think that that perhaps that Donald Trump's support within the African-American community is larger than, of course, that the Clinton campaign and the mainstream media would like you to believe. I'm not saying it's, you know, over the top, but I think it probably is a lot better than what you are being led to believe. But the other reason why this ad came out this week, I think, is not just desperation on the part of Democrats, but Hillary is having – well, Hillary's having – you know how women talk about having bad hair days and, you know, things like that? Hillary's having a bad email week. And it's the story that just won't go away. It's the story that – the gift that keeps on giving to conservatives. And it's – I think that Hillary's going to continue to have bad email weeks, as we learned this morning. That and I'll get to that in a minute. All of these, this is interesting that all of these emails are coming to light now, and they're being, what's happening is that they are being discovered by Judicial Watch. It's a conservative organization, and they are, don't ask me how they do what they do, but I believe that a lot of the information that they are getting regarding these emails is simply through Freedom of Information Act requests. And so I think the first question should be of anyone is, well, if Judicial Watch can get this information, why can't the FBI? Maybe they did and they just don't care. Maybe they were threatened. FBI Director James Comey was strong-armed in some way. I mean, we know what happens to people who cross the Clintons. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what could be going on here? But what we do know here, this is from Newsmax, and it was on Newsmax, and it's a report from Judicial Watch. This is from Monday of this week, that a second cache of newly released emails during Hillary Clinton's stint as Secretary of State glaringly illustrates how special access was given to Clinton Foundation donors, from Middle Eastern royalty to international sports and music stars by Clinton staff. Again, this is from Judicial Watch. The conservative watchdog group made public 725 pages of State Department documents, many of which included previously unreleased email exchanges between Clinton's longtime aide, Huma Abedin, and Doug Band, a then employee of the Clinton Foundation. We have since learned that, well, Huma had a lot on her plate. Huma had several jobs. In addition to being Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, she was also working for the Clinton Foundation in some capacity. I believe it's still probably all very shady just exactly in what capacity she was working for. But apparently Huma is very good at multitasking. But I digress. The unreleased email exchanges were, again, between Clinton's longtime aide, Huma Abedin, and Doug Band, a then employee of the Clinton Foundation, and 20 Clinton email exchanges that Judicial Watch asserts weren't part of the 55,000 pages of emails Clinton turned over to the State Department. Earlier this month, Judicial Watch released another batch highlighting the privilege afforded Clinton Foundation donors at Clinton's State Department. According to Judicial Watch, in one blatant example of privileged access in the new batch, Abedin coordinated with Band to set up a meeting between the Crown Prince Solomon of Bahrain and Clinton after Solomon couldn't get a meeting set up through normal State Department channels. In the email chain, Band stresses Solomon was a, quote, good friend of ours, unquote, Judicial Watch reports, noting the Kingdom of Bahrain has given up to $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Also included among the Abedin-Band email chains is an exchange in which Band urged Abedin to get the State Department to intervene in order to obtain a visa for members of a UK football club, one of whose members was having trouble because of a, quote, criminal charge, unquote. Band was acting at the behest of millionaire Hollywood sports entertainment executive and president of the Wasserman Foundation, Casey Wasserman, who has donated between $5 and $10 million to the Clinton Foundation, Judicial Watch reports. The Abedin emails also show former Clinton aide Ben Schwerin, who is a former Bill Clinton aide, who helped set up the Clinton Foundation. He urged Abedin to help U2's Bono to broadcast from the International Space Station. That is also according to Judicial Watch. These new emails confirm that Hillary Clinton abused her office by selling favors to Clinton Foundation donors. That is a quote from the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. There needs to be a serious independent investigation to determine whether Clinton and others broke the law. I think that at this point that it is patently obvious that, A, some pay-to-play shenanigans have definitely gone on. They've definitely taken place. And I don't know, it's hard to get your mind around that the FBI did not know any of this, that there was no, they could find no evidence of any of this when it is so patently clear what was going on here. And the other thing, too, that we found out this week is that the majority of people that Hillary Clinton met with as Secretary of State, the majority of those people, whether or not they were the Crown Prince of Bahrain, whether or not they were some other two-bit tin pot Middle Eastern dictator, whoever they were, the majority of these people had given money to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation is a variety of things. One of the things they are not, obviously, is a charity. If they are doing such charitable work, and again, I strongly, strongly encourage people to go see Hillary's America, Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, because there is a portion in that movie where there are Haitian refugees in New York City protesting outside the Clinton Foundation offices in New York City. They want to know where all the money that was raised for the earthquake victims in Haiti. They never saw any of it. They saw very little of it. And they're protesting outside the Clinton Foundation offices in New York City, chanting, "Where did the money go? Where did the money go?" So the Clinton Foundation is many, many things, the least of which is a charity. But we know that I think at this point we can deduct from all of this mountain of evidence. And the Clinton campaign and her toadies, her yes men are going to try to, they're going to turn themselves into pretzels, and they're going to try to spin it in various different kinds of ways. Oh, it's just circumstantial. There's no concrete evidence that anything illegal, that anything untoward took place. Okay, but what do you do with this mountain of evidence? It's obvious that if you donate to the Clinton Foundation, you get favors. In fact, I saw online yesterday, somebody happened to ask the question, had the four dead Americans in Benghazi, had they contributed to the Clinton Foundation, might they still be alive today? I mean, it's darkly humorous, but one has to wonder. And I think at this point that we can safely deduct that the Clinton Foundation is basically, it's a front organization for a lot of shady characters doing a lot of shady things. I think that probably most of those shady characters are headquartered in the Middle East, the Middle East, most with the exception of places possibly, absolutely Israel, but places like possibly Egypt, possibly Jordan, no other countries in the Middle East, no other nations have the interests of America in mind. They do not have United States interests on the plate, on the table when they do things. So with that information, the Clinton Foundation is a front organization for people such as this. And I think bottom line, end of the day, the Clinton Foundation is probably nothing more than just one big giant money laundering operation. You put money in, you get money and or favors out. You can see how it works. You can see what needs to take place in order for you to get what you need if you are a dictator or crown prince or you name it, what have you, more than likely from the Middle East. Now, there's a couple other questions here all as well that I think probably need to be answered. I doubt if they ever will, but they would be some interesting answers. And one of those things is that how do we know that the pay for play, the quid pro quo, how do we know that it was only a one-way deal? How do we know it was only a one-way street? So the Crown Prince of Bahrain comes along and needs a favor and says, hey, I'm going to give the Clinton Foundation $100,000. And the Clinton Foundation says, hey, great, that's awesome. But Hillary comes along and says, well, that's great, but what if I need a favor from you? What if I need you to do something for me, for the State Department of the United States of America? If you're going to give that money, this is great, but I also may need you to do something for me as well. How do we know that none of that was going on? I can't believe it wasn't. And the other thing too is that, and this is an even bigger question, this is probably the $64,000 question, and that is, how did all of these crown princes and Middle Eastern royalty and tin pot dictators from the Middle East, how did they know to call the Clintons? How did they know that if they managed to scrape up some dough to give to the Clinton Foundation and say, hey, if I scrape up enough dough to donate, air quotes, donate to the Clinton Foundation, how did they know that they were going to get a favor, gain access at that point to the State Department of the United States of America, or quite possibly any potential Hillary Clinton presidential administration? How did they know to do it? How did they know who to call? Because I'm sure that the Clinton Foundation is not putting billboards up along the highway in Riyadh. So how did these guys know? How did all of these people, these donors, know to call the Clintons so that their whatever it was that they needed done, be it favors, be it access, be it what have you, how did they know to call the Clintons? It's just more and more questions, more and more, you know, you can call it circumstantial. I don't think it is. More and more evidence mounting of just exactly what this is, not only of just exactly what the Clinton Foundation is, but also just exactly the intertwining, the intermingling of the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's State Department when she was Secretary of State. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think a lot of people do think it's going to happen. I don't think I've ever seen a case that cries out for a special prosecutor more than this, because we also learned, I believe this morning, that there is going to be 15,000 new emails released, I believe I heard the middle of next month, the middle of September. What's going to be in there? More yoga classes? More plans for Chelsea's wedding? Doubtful. And not only that, Julian Assange, who is holed up there at the Ecuadorian embassy in London because he can't go anywhere else because he may get arrested, and we know that he is has been charged with a sexual assault in Sweden, I believe. But he has also come out. He was on with Megyn Kelly the other night and said to her basically that there are more – WikiLeaks is going to release more information about Hillary Clinton. He would not confirm whether or not he had some sort of October surprise waiting for her in the wings. But, you know, so there's that. There's going to be more Judicial Watch, I believe, is going to be releasing the 15,000 new emails next month. But, again, what do we know about – what Julian Assange and WikiLeaks is going to release as well? Because we know, you know, you can say a lot of things about Julian Assange, but we know that the last time that they released information on the Democrat Party, that heads rolled and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the chairman, resigned. So, you know, you can use your imagination as to what you think may be maybe about to be released. But this is a story I have from, it's from the Daily Mail. And, you know, I've said it a bunch of times, I'll say it again, that when you want some accurate coverage of American politics, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, the British newspapers, they do well at it because they don't have a dog in the hunt. They don't have skin in the game. So they'll report what needs to be reported. They are not, they're not the lapdogs that our own media is. But there was a meeting this past week, several EU countries, and this is when I tell you about this, it's basically very simplified, granted, but it's in essence what this American presidential election is all about. And what happened here is that the EU chief, he is a guy by the name of Jean-Claude, it's spelled J-U-N-C-K-E-R, I'm going to assume he pronounces it Juncker, who knows. Quote from EU chief Jean-Claude Juncker is this, quote, "Borders are the worst invention ever." And the headline of this Daily Mail story is that he is widening the rift with European leaders as he calls for open borders. Again, this is a report from the Daily Mail. Under fire, EU chief Jean-Claude Juncker risked widening divisions with European leaders by saying borders were the, quote, worst invention ever. He called for all borders across Europe to be opened, despite the chaos caused over the last year from the flood of refugees fleeing Syria and the wave of terror attacks hitting various continents' countries. The remarkable comments will further undermine Mr. Juncker's precarious position as European Commission president. He has faced repeated calls to quit after his failure to keep Britain in the EU and the refugee and Greek debt crises. He was speaking at the ALPAC Media Academy, wherever that is, and again said borders are the worst invention ever made by politicians. The contentious remarks from the Brussels chief are the polar opposite of moves by elected leaders of EU member states who have tightened their borders over recent months after more than a million refugees entered from Syria in less than a year. Mr. Juncker also said a stronger EU is the best way of beating the rising trend of nationalism across Europe. In another extraordinary remark, he appeared to warn of war on the continent if EU disintegrates, as he echoed the warning from the former French president, François Mitterrand, who said that nationalism added to nationalism would end in war. Quote, "This is still true, so we have to fight against nationalism," Mr. Juncker said. Several other things he went on to say. We have to fight against nationalism. We have the duty not to follow populists, but to block the avenue of populists. The embattled EU Commission president described Brexit as an unheard of political crisis for the EU, but told EU member states that the only way of overcoming the challenge of Britain leaving would be to remain as one. Downing Street said Mr. Juncker's views, that would be Britain. Views on borders were, quote, not something that the prime minister would agree with, but obviously in the light of Britain's exiting the EU. But that's essentially what our election is about this year. You know, people like to talk about the populism and the nationalism of Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton wanting to basically open our borders to let anyone in. And I don't know about anyone else, but I think that for a lot of people to hear Donald Trump is not a politician. He's not a politician by trade. But I think it's quite refreshing for people to hear someone. It is for me. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, for me, it is quite refreshing to hear a presidential candidate, talk about America first. We haven't heard that in a long time. We haven't heard that in, 8 years. So for me, it's refreshing. But you know, it's all boiled down. When you want to really, really boil it down and simplify it, that's what we're voting on this year. We're voting on whether or not we're going to put Americans and America first, or, you know, I can say, or Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's view of America with no borders, and, you know, use your imagination. I am going to take another quick break. I am going to come back. I still got a ton of stuff to get to today. I probably won't get to all of it. I don't know. I'll try. Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy. Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy. Whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123. You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to Fun, Exciting Oldies the Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while, a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We're back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. Thank you, everybody, for chilling with me today. A few presidential poll numbers before we have to wrap up today. Again, from Real Clear Politics, the Real Clear Politics poll average right now today, this is nationally, Hillary Clinton is up by 6 points. A lot of people panic about that. I'm not. I don't think that is insurmountable. Some battleground state numbers here as of today in Pennsylvania. Hillary Clinton, 49.2. Donald Trump, 40. That puts her up by 9.2 points. Michigan, 43.4 for Hillary, 36.1 Trump. That puts Hillary up 7.3. Ohio, very important. In Ohio, Hillary Clinton, 45.3. Donald Trump, 40.5. That is a lead for Hillary Clinton of 4.8 points. Again, I don't think that is insurmountable. That's not a big deal. Another important key state, Florida, Hillary Clinton, 45.1, Donald Trump, 41.8. I think that's almost got to be within the margin of error. That puts Hillary Clinton, actually she's down by 3.3 points in that poll. Iowa, Clinton, 42, Trump, 40.5. That only puts her up a point and a half in Iowa. Wisconsin, Clinton 46.7, Trump 37.3. Again, that's a pretty wide margin. That is by 9.4. In North Carolina, Clinton 45.5, Trump 43.8. That, again, there's a 1.7 percentage point difference. So I don't think that when you look at poll numbers, I don't think that it's time to panic just yet, because like I said earlier in the show, I think that these polls are going to be a giant roller coaster, and they're going to go up and down, you know, depending on what happens and things of that nature. I mean, between now and we're, what, roughly 80 days out of this election, and a whole bunch of stuff can happen between now and then. But I also have a couple of interesting things here from some Zogby polls. The first thing here is that according to a Zogby poll, that Gary Johnson and libertarians could score big with millennials. And that would be, I think that would be, it would hurt Hillary Clinton, I think, much more than Donald Trump, because I think even though a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters swore up and down they were never going to vote for Hillary, and I think there's some that still will not. There's a faction of never Hillary people in the Democrat Party, just as like there are never Trumpers in the Republican Party. But I think it would hurt her. This is, again, according to Newsmax, millennials do not like either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, and the Libertarian Party has a good chance of scoring with this group. That is according to pollster John Zogby. We've never been in a position like this before, where both major party candidates have significant problems, and the real truth behind the numbers are millennials. Zogby says that both main party candidates are polling in the low 40s, high 30s among millennials, and that's terrible. He goes on to say he can, talking about Gary Johnson, he can make a dent, especially among young voters, and he's on the ballot, I think, in almost all, if not all 50 states right now as we speak. Now, I've been saying for quite a while that I think that once this election cycle is over, you are going to see a huge uptick in the interest and the numbers of people joining the Libertarian Party. I think from both sides of the aisle, because people are so – they're sick. They're sick of both parties, because there's nothing being done that the American people want done. And I think among millennials, I think that maybe they're just kind of they're over it. They're over the whole thing. They're over the whole two-party system thing. So, you know, I think that is a possibility. Also, John Zogby goes on to say that a lot of Obama voters are crossing over to Trump. A group of voters that once supported George W. Bush before defecting to back President Barack Obama are once again switching sides and getting behind Donald Trump. He says, of course, the race is very close, and what it means, obviously, is the post-convention bounces are over. This is a very tight race. Whether a poll has Donald Trump up by actually 2 points in the last couple of hours in Southern California or mine has Hillary Clinton up by 2 points, the bottom line is that it's a very close race. And I think this also includes independents as well, because and not only independents, but also people who won't tell a pollster if the pollster calls them on the phone. They're not going to tell the pollster that they're voting for Donald Trump. But very quickly here, before we have to get out of here for today, in today's witchy stuff moment for the day, this is from a website called The Wild Hunt. It is modern pagan news and commentary. This comes from Butler, Missouri. Not sure exactly where Butler is, but the Sacred Well Congregation, a universalist, independent, non-evangelical Wiccan church, announced it is ecclesiastical endorsing organization for the Department of Veterans Affairs. This designation means they are now able to endorse qualified clergy from Wicca and Earth-centered spiritualities who wish to apply for chaplaincy positions with the VA. This marks the first time that any pagan group has been approved as an ecclesiastical endorsing organization for the VA. In a message on its official Facebook page, SWC said, quote, "This is a tremendous breakthrough and will enhance our standing with professional chaplains organizations such as the Network on Ministry Specialized Settings, formerly known as the Coalition on Ministry in Specialized Settings, and the Association of Professional Chaplains, as well as strengthen our position as we move forward in our endeavors to secure status as an EEO for military chaplains." Very quickly, what this is, there's an explanation here that the difference between chaplains and every department and bureau in the federal government that has professional chaplains has its own EEO system and approval process. Most of these processes are modeled on the DOD system. However, just because an organization is granted EEO by one federal agency does not mean they are granted it by another. At the federal level, the EEO must be a religious organization that holds a letter of determination from the IRS recognizing it as a 501c3, church or association of churches, that kind of thing. A chaplain is different because the chaplain is an ordained minister of a particular faith, denomination, or sect. Chaplains must be capable and agree to provide spiritual care for every person under their supervision. Currently, there are no military or VA chaplains who carry an endorsement from a Wiccan, pagan, or earth-centered spiritual organization. Hopefully, that will be changing here in the near future. But that is good. It's a step in the right direction, and it's good to see that, maybe some pagan clergy will be beginning to be recognized in the United States military. I have to get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with me today. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Some new stuff should be up there shortly. Politichicks.com, also new stuff shortly. Facebook.com/Becky Noble and on Twitter at Patriot Witch. Check out Red Nation Rising Radio Network, rednationrising.us. Check it out. Tons of great stuff there. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. I will see you next time.
Get up. If you're tired of